Harold, you know, I've heard a lot of people, you know, they get all excited and they want to know what was the exact day of the year that Jesus was born on. How do we know where it exactly fits on the calendar? Guess what? He didn't tell us. And I think that was so we wouldn't worship a day. But I think it's good to have a day that we set aside to remember that Jesus came to earth in the form of this little baby. And keep that in mind. And so I am so thankful for Christmas. I think that it just displays the power of God. I want to thank Brother Steve and Joy for inviting us to come with them to the Handel's presentation of Handel's Messiah up at the Symphony Hall. I've never been to a symphony before. I've never been to hear opera before. And I was just thinking in my mind, I thought, man, if the people who used to know me 30 years ago could see me now, they would be so shocked. But anyway, it was really awesome, you know, to be exposed to such a wonderful production that was done for the glory of God. Like all the words of the songs is scripture, and it's being sung with the greatest of inflection and joy, and they have practiced it over and over and over again to get it as close to perfect as possible. And I said, yes, this is the way we should live for Jesus. We shouldn't give Him our leftovers. We should give Him the most excellent of our offerings every day of our life. It was amazing to watch the orchestra and the way that they played their instruments in perfect harmony. It was amazing the way that they would, at times during the song that there was supposed to be great emphasis, they would start loud, and at times whenever you were supposed to be going into a mood of maybe somber mood with some of the scriptures that were being sung, it would be low and almost mournful. It would bring out, invoke this feeling, and it was beautiful. It was amazing. And of course, the Hallelujah chorus. It was amazing to hear this chorus of people all singing Hallelujah together, Hallelujah, and continuing on in really the singing of the Scripture. Our lives need to look like that. We really do, you know. Even if you're not into symphony and you're not into that type of instrumental music, appreciate the idea of living in excellence for God. You know, God deserves it. You know, He says that we should present our bodies as a living sacrifice to Him, holy and acceptable. I am quoting Scripture right now. That's Romans chapter 12, verse 1, which is your reasonable service or your spiritual act of worship, some versions say. And so what does that mean to be a living sacrifice? It means we are so thankful that Jesus came. And He didn't just come. He came purposefully to save us. He came to live in our state of temptation and yet never sin. He came so that He could be the sacrifice on the cross. I want you to know, it was not a surprise to Jesus when they took Him and killed Him. It was not a surprise. In fact, He said, "They don't force me to do this. No one's forcing me. In fact, I could call 12 legions of angels to come and rescue me from this hour, but it's for this hour that I came." He deserves the excellence of our lives. He deserves the best of our offerings. Please give Him the best. I can tell you, God is powerful. Can I get an amen to that? God is powerful. God does not need us. I want you to know that. God does not need us to do anything for Him. I think that is so important for us to always remember that. You know, there were actually times in history that we read in the Bible where God spoke and His voice was heard from heaven. God, if He wants to herald a message, He can literally speak audibly from heaven and make it be heard. So why doesn't He do that all the time? Because God is so powerful that He can use imperfect vessels like us to herald His message. He is showing His power by the fact that He doesn't just scream everything from heaven to us. He actually uses His messengers. His messengers. Some of His messengers are angelic messengers, right? Some of those, God has this power to prophesy. God has this power to speak, to foretell what he's going to do even. God sends literally angels. And that's what we're going to be looking at in the Christmas story today. How he heralded his message literally through heavenly angels. But guys, angel is actually defined as messenger. And so I think we need to keep that in mind as well. Because you see, he chooses different messengers for his word. And so as we think about this, let's just ask the question. Why does God foretell what he's going to do anyways? We look at Ezekiel, which is one of his prophets, one of the major prophets in the Bible, and he says in Ezekiel 33:33, and when this comes to pass, so he's telling Ezekiel why he's sending him out to prophesy. And when this comes to pass, surely it will come that they will know that a prophet has been among them. So that wasn't for Ezekiel's sake that they would know he was a prophet. It was for their sake that they would know that his prophecy is true. And since his prophecy is true, then all the other things that Ezekiel was saying that God was telling his people were true as well. And so why did God send him to prophesy of these things ahead of time? So that whenever they saw these things were coming to pass, they would know God is real. So people want to say there's, in the world today, well, where's your evidence for God? Well, I can say one of the evidences is all of the hundreds or thousands of prophecies that have been fulfilled. Amen? And even just in the life of Jesus. Look at the way he came. I mean, look at the way it was foretold throughout the Old Testament prophets. It's exciting to see that hundreds of prophecies were fulfilled in his life here on earth and still to be fulfilled in the days to come. Ezekiel 37:14 also says, I will put my spirit in you and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. He's speaking of the raising back up of Israel and of spiritual Israel even to this day, even of new birth and rebirth in our lives. He says, then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. God is displaying his power by the way he prophesies ahead of time through imperfect vessels. And then it comes to pass exactly as he said. And he ends that statement with, says the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. That's how he displays his power. So God uses different messengers too. And it's really kind of interesting when we look throughout the scripture, he uses different messengers. In fact, I've often wondered, why doesn't he use angels more often? You know, because when the angels disobeyed, guys, the ones who disobeyed got thrown out of heaven immediately. The way we see it, Satan was an angel. The devil was an angel. At one time, he got jealous and he wanted his throne higher than God's. He was the created being and he wanted all of the worship that was going to the Creator. And so he got prideful in his heart and a third of the angels were following him. And it says God threw him out. So all of the angels that are left in heaven, I would assume, are obedient. Wouldn't you think? Because like if they're not, they get thrown out, right? And so they learned the lesson. We must obey. So why doesn't God use angels every time that he has a message to tell? I think it's because it displays his power when we actually do what he says because of our love for him, you see. It displays a relationship. But he does at times use angels, those from heaven. He also uses his prophets. You know, there still are prophets today. Now, prophets look a little different today than what they did in the Old Testament times because while they were speaking the word of the Lord, the Holy Spirit had not been given to all of the people who were believers at the time. And so the Holy Spirit was especially given to them, and so they would speak the words of God, and they also were recording it for us to have today. Now the prophet literally speaks the word of God. And we have the fullness of both the Old Testament and the New Testament of Scripture that we will speak the word of God. I tell you that whenever you bring forth the word of God and you speak it into any given situation, you too are exercising prophecy because you're speaking God's words. And so I today am called to that place to stand before you as a prophet speaking the word of God. And so it's not like something mystical and like I'm going to try to tell you what day Jesus is coming back. That would be really stupid of me, wouldn't it? You know, there are actually some guys who get up there and they say, I'm a prophet. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus is coming back, and they throw this date. And you know what I always think? They're going to prove themselves a fool. And not only that, Jesus will come back any other day, but he ain't coming back that day. Because he said nobody knows. Why do people keep acting like they know? Guys, that's not a prophet. A prophet is the one who speaks and recognizes the significance of the words that God has given us. Okay? And many times we can see how it fits today's culture, and we can even have God will show us, hey, this really is being played out today, and so we can even kind of predict what's going to happen next because of what the Word of God says. But I can tell you, the prophet relies totally on the written Word of God. Do I get an amen to that? Not some mystical thing, okay? We want to make sure we understand that. So God uses different types of messengers, the angels, he uses the prophets, and he also uses priests. And we're going to get a little bit more into that, but we're going to kind of relate this to the story for today. So if you want, you can turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. John also speaks of this prophet that he was sending ahead. And so many of you know the name of this prophet, and I like his name. This prophet's name is John. John the Baptist. Yeah, I even like that he's John the Baptist. I can really relate. Now, I do want you to understand, and it's okay if you didn't know this before, John the Baptist is different from the disciple John, okay? So there's actually two Johns that we deal with kind of in the story of Jesus' life on earth. John the Baptist is different from the John who wrote the Gospel of John and the letters, the epistles in the last part of the Bible, John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. That was the Apostle John. And the Apostle John is the John who was the disciple who walked with Jesus. James and John, they were brothers, and they were called the Sons of Thunder. And John the Baptist is a different guy. John the Baptist is a guy who was literally, in an earthly way, he was Jesus' cousin. And so he would have been like his second cousin, because Mary's cousin Elizabeth was an older woman who had not yet had a child. And they had prayed many years ago that God would give them a child, and it hadn't happened yet because God had a special plan for this child. The child he was going to give them had a special calling, and he was going to be a prophet of the Most High, you see. And he was going to come along 6 months before Jesus, and he was going to be a prophet who would foretell what was to come and to make straight paths the way of the Lord, and as it was prophesied in the Old Testament. So what an amazing story that this is. And it's so amazing that God literally sends an angel. He sends an angel from heaven to the priest to foretell the preparation of this prophet. And we find this in Luke chapter 1, verse 5. And there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Wow. Guys, I got that part underlined. Verse 6 is underlined in my Bible. If you're marking your Bibles for emphasis' sake, some folks think that that's like sacrilegious. I don't think it is. I think it's a good idea for you to mark down things that are important to you so you can look at them later. But what is so important to me in this is God chooses those who are set apart. And we see these people were set apart. In fact, God impressed upon them the importance of being set apart, but don't expect God to choose you if you're living for yourself. Don't expect Him to choose you to do great things. A lot of times people get really upset about that, you know. And yeah, He'll choose you to get right with Him. He'll choose you to move toward Him. He'll choose you in all of these different purposes. But you know who He chooses to do those great things are the people, I think, that are preparing themselves somewhat. And sure, He puts it in your heart, but you need to move on it. Guys, He wants us to be coming toward Him. He wants us to be serving Him. He wants us to be real about it. He wants us to be on mission for Him. And then, as we are going, He uses us. And that's what we see with these two here. You know, I'm sure they were really sad because they're older in years. We're going to read the rest of the story here in a minute. But they're getting older in years, and they've never had that child they prayed for. Can't you imagine that they probably kind of got a little sad that God had not answered their prayer in that way yet? But did God hear their prayer?
Absolutely.
God just had a really special plan. So if God hasn't answered your prayer, whatever it may be yet, I want you to know God has a better plan. So don't get discouraged and don't get upset with God over it. You just keep going forward serving God and believing God's got a good plan for you and He loves you. And God's going to show you what His will is for you as you go. Verse 7, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well advanced in years. That's just a nice way of saying they were old. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, you see, guys, he was doing what he was called to do. He was still doing what he was called to do. Can I get an amen to that? I've been trying to emphasize that, and I'm getting weak amens on this. Guys, keep doing what you know you're supposed to be doing, and God will show you the next step. Don't expect God to show you the next step if you're not doing what he's called you to do right now, you see. I think it's really an important thing for us to learn. So they were being faithful. They were being faithful. In verse 9, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias heard him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Don't judge him here, guys. I think if an angel appeared before you, you'd be troubled. I think he'd scare you for a minute, right? And so, like, because it isn't like a normal thing to happen. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And I bet you there was a pause. Which prayer? But listen, it's amazing. It's a prayer that was heard many years before. And your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Guys, I'm just going to tell you something. Remember the other day whenever I was talking about how there was a 400-year silence of God? This picks up at the last words of that silent time. You see, it may have been 400 and some odd years of silence, but God had not forgotten his plan. It was not taking any of him. It was not taking him by surprise at all. He purposely left that 400 years, and whenever the time was fulfilled, he picks it up exactly where he left off. You read the last words of Malachi, and he's picking it up from there. And he's saying, this is the next prophet in line. That 400-year silence is being broken. It is time for Jesus to come. That excites me. And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years. Man, that's a smart guy. Guys, we need to take some lessons from this. He goes in and calls himself old, but he's really gentle in the way he announces about his wife. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute, not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. And the prophet waited for Zacharias, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, you see the activity of the angel here. So there's another person that needs to be told an important message. Some more prophecy needs to be given, and he sends an angel to do this. And so he says, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and in his kingdom there will be no end. And then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. Man, there's another one. Mark it in your Bible, guys. Whenever God decides to do something, he can do it. And even if he decides to do something through you and you doubt that you have the ability to do it, don't worry about it, because if it's of God, he'll do it through you. He is able. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now, Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. She believed God. Look at where she went. She went immediately to where the angel had told her that her cousin had was with child as well. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow, isn't this exciting stuff? The reading of God's word is so exciting. And then she spoke out with a loud voice. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? Guys, God's prophesying right now through Elizabeth. And do you hear that even the babe, the prophet who is being formed in the womb, already was aware because of the Holy Spirit being in him as well. You see, guys, God chooses. God moves. If we are just willing to allow him to, he will move through us too. It's such an amazing thing that's happening here. And for indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Okay, so we have the Holy Spirit moving in the baby who's in the womb. Are those babies really a person? Oh, absolutely. Does God have a plan for them? Absolutely. He's actually just filled this baby with the Spirit already. Knew that he was in the presence of the Lord because of this baby that's inside of Mary as well. Personhood to that baby, absolutely. How dare us ever say anything other than that? We see it being acted out here. And not only that, God is working through this prophet already. And now we see Mary is now being filled with the Spirit as well. So amazing. I mean, literally, she had baby Jesus growing inside of her. But look at what she says. My soul magnifies the Lord. What does that mean to magnify? Does anybody ever have a magnifying glass? What does it do? It makes it bigger. And it also intensifies. An amazing thing happens whenever, you know, we should be trying to make God bigger in our lives. When people see us, that they can see him, not us. It ain't about us. And so Mary's saying, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. That's Psalm 103:17, guys. She is speaking the word of God. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. Guys, he's still this little bitty baby inside of her, and she's already foretelling the great things that are destined for him to do. He has filled the hungry with good things. Guys, he fed the hungry, didn't he? And he feeds us today spiritually, doesn't he? And the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Man, I'll tell you, God is powerful. Who did he choose? He chose one too old to have a child to bring the prophet. He chose one too young, too small in stature in their societal status. He chose this poor little young lady, or Mary, to bring forth this baby. And you know what? I think it's because they were both humble. You see, he turns the rich away. That means, I think, rich in more than just money. It means rich in spirit, to where we don't need God. You see, God comes to those who need him, who show their humility, and he uses them powerfully. And he has throughout all the history. And so we continue to just look at this story, and we see this is all about God. See, it ain't about the people anyways, really. Yeah, they're involved, but yeah, it's really about God. And even the baby in the womb, John, is being formed as this prophet. He's already leaping at the presence of Jesus. Let our hearts leap at the presence of Jesus. We see that God, you know, foretells all of this through his angel and foretells of this preparation of this prophet. God sends the prophet. He's raised up this prophet, and we're going to continue to read in this story just a little bit further, because I want you to hear what Zacharias has to say after this baby is born. Verse 56 and on down, and Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Now Elizabeth's time, full time, came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called his name by his father, Zacharias. His mother answered and said, "No, he shall be called John." But they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called by that name." So they made signs to the father what he would have him called. That part always gets me. He could hear, he just couldn't talk. And it's so funny, they're making signs to him. But that's just how people interact. But nonetheless, so they're asking him, And so he asked for a writing tablet, and he wrote, saying, "His name is John." So they all marveled. Immediately his mouth opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. So his doubt was gone, and now he's ready to speak the word of God faithfully. And then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these things were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, "What kind of child will this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel." You see, it's all about him. It's all about him. "For he has visited and redeemed his people." Past tense. It ain't even happened yet. He's saying it past tense. Because with God, when he says something, it's as though it's already done. "And he raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us." Who hates you? Satan does. Who hates you? Satan and his demons do. Who wants to destroy you? That's your enemy. It's not all those people that you think are your enemies out there. It's Satan, literally. And so God sent the one to put him in his place. In verse 72, "to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Underline that. Do you know why John the Baptist came? He came to point the way to Jesus, who came to set you free from all your enemies. Who's the enemy? Satan and the demons, so that you can serve God without fear. Church, this is for you today in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child. Now he finally talks to this new precious child that's just been born. He's been talking about God this whole time. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the time of his manifestation to Israel. Man, wow. God does amazing things. Nothing holds back his power to do what his will is to do. God is able. And I can tell you, the time was fully set for that to happen. So God sends that angel, and now God sends the prophet. And we just read from John last week, and John 1:6-7 reminds us, right there, talking about the Word becoming flesh, the Word dwelling with God, being that he is God, and then he came to dwell with us. And so there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is John the Baptist. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. So he was that prophet who was sent to bear this. And so, as we know, God sent him, and God filled him with the Holy Spirit. God prepared him. You know where he prepared him? He sent him to all the greatest universities, right? He got him in the greatest universities and got him the best pedigree. No, John literally was prepared by God himself. Nothing against universities. They can be a useful tool. But I can tell you, the university is useless without God. And we've got a lot of godless universities trying to pump stuff into people. And I'm telling you, it ain't bringing nothing godly out. And so what we really need is to be prepared by God, most of all, first and foremost. And we see John actually grew and became strong in the Spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation. I can tell you, he came out of there looking like a pretty wild man, too. I love that movie Jesus, you know, from the book of Luke, and we've been giving it out. We got copies of it back there. But man, I'll tell you, I loved John the Baptist when he comes out. I can really relate to that guy. Man, he's got big woolly hair and this clothing that nobody else, you know, would think to wear. But he looked the part of what he came to be. He was the voice of one calling from the wilderness, make straight paths of the Lord. And so, you see, it was exactly as the Old Testament had already prophesied, and he was coming in that place. He was prepared by God. He was filled with the Spirit. So God sends the prophet. God also sends the priest. God also sends the priest. Luke chapter 1, verses 74 through 76. This is what Zechariah said again. We just read. I'm going to repeat them. To grant us. That's us. That's us. Point at yourselves. That's us. That's me. Okay? To grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. You know, persecution's on the rise, guys. What are we going to do about it? Are we going to step back in fear? Are we just going to stop and say, oh no, they're going to persecute us, so I guess we better stop speaking the Word of God? I guess we better stop living it? Oh, don't you dare. You see, God will give special power as well, if we'll just stand faithful. You know, it's like he told Jeremiah, if you stand, I'll make you like a bronze wall. But if you don't, you'll crumble before the people. You see, our time to stand is coming. The time for the Chinese Christians is now. The time for those Christians in North Korea, you know, to stand. The time for us to stand is now. If we're standing now, we won't have a problem standing whenever persecution begins to increase. And we can serve him without fear. Why? Because he's already delivered us from the hand of our enemies, guys. If you're saved, you're delivered. In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. You see, He went before so that he might help prepare us, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. You see, we are those priests, guys. Not just Zacharias that day. We are. We're the priests. You see, and God will equip the chosen. He's chosen you for his task. Don't worry that you don't feel equipped yet, because God will equip you if you'll just present yourself before him, kind of like John the Baptist did. You see, he equips those who are chosen. He don't just choose those that are equipped. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 2:9, he says, "But you point yourselves again." I know, you always hate that whenever I ask you to do that kind of stuff. But I want you to personalize it. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. We always like that part, but you see, this gives us our mission statement. I have had so many people tell me this that I can't even count. I'm going to repeat it to you. So many people say, "Preacher, I would do God's will if I just knew what it was." So the preacher is going to tell you what it is today, because I'm reading it from God's Word. This is to me. This is to you. This is to all of us, that you might proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do I get an amen? That is our number one direction of the will of God for our lives. And you see, as we do that, then we continue to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things which he's commanded us. Even to the end of the age, God is with us to do that. You see, we need to just do what we know to do right now, and he'll give us the rest of the information as we go. And so he has called us to be those priests. And so God sends the angels, and they just do it, right? We've already discussed that. If they didn't do it, they got thrown out of heaven. That was the end of it. So God sends the angels, and they do it. God sends the prophets, and they do it. Do I get an amen? The prophets, thus saith the Lord, they did it, right? Okay, God's sending us. Are we going to do it? Are you going to do it? See, I said we the first time, but I think this requires a you too, because, guys, it's personal. And he's sending us. And we say, "Well, preacher, I don't feel comfortable talking to people." Well, it ain't all just with words. Yeah, sometimes we got to talk. A lot of it's just how you live. Set apart. Different. Peculiar, he says. It sounds scary, but it's just true. You're going to look peculiar. You're not going to look like the rest of the world. But yeah, sometimes we even got to say why. Somebody asked us. Yeah. It's because I'm following Jesus. So, are we going to do it? There's no better time than right now, guys. It's Christmas. God made it easy for us. It's the most natural thing in the world to just talk about it right now. You know, even in a secular place like Powell Symphony Hall, they've got the most amazing presentation of God's Word happening. It's a perfect time. Let's do it. Let's set our minds to doing what God's called us to do today. Now, I'm gonna tell you something. You really need the Holy Spirit. And you might say, "Well, preacher, I don't know if I have the Holy Spirit." I'm going to tell you how to make sure you have the Holy Spirit. You got to make sure you're a child of God. If you're not a child of God yet, you don't have the Holy Spirit yet. You may have temporary touches from the Spirit, but that's not the same thing as actually having the Spirit living in you. But I'm going to tell you, he promises for everybody who's a child of God, who has confessed Jesus as their Lord, has given their heart to him, repenting of their sins, that the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, and it's called being born again. And if you've never experienced it, then you don't have it. And I'm not judging you. I'm offering it to you today. He said, "If everybody who comes to him, he will not cast even one away. He will not turn anybody away." So come to him today and say, "Lord, I don't think I have the Spirit. I want to turn my life over to Jesus." And the Holy Spirit will come and dwell in you. And yeah, you'll know there's something different. I don't think he'll make you do weird stuff either, guys. He's just going to make you have a boldness inside that's new. He's going to help you to love. And sometimes that's going to feel weird and new. And he's going to help you to understand the scriptures and be more like him. And yes, it'll be peculiar, but it's good. And then you'll have everything you need to do what God's calling you to do. Let me pray for you. Dear God, I just pray for this congregation. I pray for myself, Lord, that we would go forth and be the prophets, be the priests, be those messengers that you're calling us to be. You don't always send them from heaven, those messengers. But the word angel literally just means messenger. And so, Lord, you have called us to be angels in that sense. You've called us to be the messengers. And so help us, Lord, to live it out every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah.